Well, it turns out Mexico's not getting new grass and having America pay for it.
No, they are not.
So the NFL makes the right decision and, you know, pretty early in the week in their standards to get the game moved to L.A. Chiefs and Rams will play at the Coliseum.
That's a good move. Obviously a good move.
Sounds like a big game.
Yeah. Chiefs, Rams, Coliseum. Yeah.
It's got a little ring to it anyway. A
lot of people can fit into that stadium, man. Like 90,000 people. That's where the first Super Bowl was. So the Chiefs are going back to the site of the first Super Bowl.
Much like that one, it's going to be hard to televise it, or two networks are going to do it, or whatever. Sure. Whatever the story was. Is that going to happen too? Or
no. They'll figure it out. They'll figure out a way to get their cameras there for ESPN to televise this game. But I like to think, you know,
Shelley Smith is now covering it.
Is she covering the game now? She'll be there.
She does everything in L.A.
Of course. That is true. I'd like to think, though, that you and I played a small part in getting this game moved based on our conversation. That we had yesterday. I think we, you know, us talking
about
it.
I'm sure he does like to think it, though, right?
I absolutely like to think it. I mean, we've been talking about it now for over 24 hours when the NFL clearly wasn't going to get off their tuchuses and do anything. And then we started talking about it, which led to players going, you know what? Those guys on 610 are correct. The official station of the NFL in Kansas City, who has more NFL play-by-play than any other station in town, including the Chargers and Broncos this Sunday.
They're doing play-by-play on
second game of our doubleheader here on 610 Sports Radio. How about that, right?
To me.
Second game of the doubleheader on Sunday. No Chiefs, but you got Chargers and Broncos in the late game right here exclusively and only on 610 Sports Radio. The NFL chose us as the official station of their league.
Seems like if you actually cared about football, you'd want to put division rivals in.
You'd have it on. So we've got the game on for you here on Sunday. So after a lot of the Chiefs players were driving in, and I got some friends in the Rams organization that streamed the show, they were listening to us yesterday. They're, you know what? We're not showing up to Mexico City if you guys play this game. And I think ultimately, with us talking about it yesterday morning and then the players staging a quote-unquote boycott yesterday, I think that really kind of got the NFL off its keister and said, you know what, we've got to move this game. We cannot send players down there, especially on teams like the Rams and the Chiefs that are the two best teams, the two premier teams right now in the NFL. We can't send them into Mexico City on a subpar surface and allow these guys to go out there and play because something potentially dangerous could happen. And I thought that was a good move, you know, by this organization. And yesterday, as I was getting my surgery done, major surgery yesterday, by the way, major surgery for me yesterday. Not that anybody cares.
Did you get the bouquet?
Did not. Not that really. Nobody cares.
We had major that surgery. Edible arrangement set for
Didn't
you.
Get it.
The edible arrangements because it was a tooth.
Yeah, I asked my wife to bring me a bowl of soup home yesterday. You think she did that? No. I had to drive myself. It was a mess. So I'm getting ready to go under surgery yesterday, and I get the Novocaine, you know, in my tooth or whatever. What a process this is. They numb, and then they numb on the numb, and then they drill away, and it's like, and stuff's, yeah, it's num. And stuff is, like, flying everywhere.
They watch you drool and talk, and then they laugh at you at the point, and they shoot videos. Yeah.
I got to use my own sucker, though, yesterday. I was able to control my own sucker yesterday. You know, that Mr. Thirsty? Yeah, that thing. I got to control my own yesterday.
Stop sticking it on your tongue.
Check that off the bucket list.
Right. So I'm sitting down at 3 o'clock on time. Great dentist. Fantastic. Love him. Fantastic. I like the dentist. It's not that I'm scared of the dentist or anything like that, but anytime you get Novocaine, chances are you don't come out. You know, it happens. So I said my goodbyes to my children, a night before, and I drove myself to the dentist. Nobody took me. Nobody got me soup, but I was out there on my own on this one. So I got a text from somebody right as I was getting ready to get operated on yesterday. The game is officially moved. It's
like
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Slow down.
Well, the tooth broke off, Josh. The tooth broke off.
Anyway.
The tooth broke
off. I was thinking about you while we were under the knife.
I bet you were.
I was.
I bet you were. Did you consider, let me go pick him up.
No, not at all.
No, it's nice to know you.
I figured it was
work
a simple dental operation.
Well, you know, nothing simple. Anytime there's needles and drills and Mr. Thirsty's involved, nothing is simple.
Whenever there's fluoride, watch out.
Yeah, look out. Get out of the way. I mean,
Mr. Thirsty's actually my weekend alter ego.
Is it?
5 o'clock on Friday. Mr. Thirsty's here.
You wait that long?
I was just trying to make it relatable for the
I
listeners.
I got you.
More like noon.
Noon, yeah. Really that late? So I'm getting ready to sit down and have this major surgery done yesterday, and I get a text. They go, the game has officially been moved. They're going to release it in about an hour. I'm like, good. It's the right thing to do to move this game to Los Angeles, because that's ultimately where you have to draw the line. When players, Josh, start to say, I'm not playing in this football game if it's down in Mexico City. I don't think the NFL ultimately moved it because they care about player safety, because I think that is one of the biggest scams in America today, that the NFL cares about player safety. They moved it because they were afraid all the players weren't going to show up and participate in that game. It's really, 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 really disappointing, though, to me, that it had to come to the players saying, we're going to boycott this game because we're not playing on that turf, instead of the NFL making the right decision from jump, because the NFL was thinking about money, 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 and more money, and not player safety. And the players did the right thing. And I applaud whatever players it was that told Adam Schefter yesterday, they ain't playing in this game in Mexico City.
The NFLPA stepped in and fought for the players not to have to play on a field like this. The field was, in the words that were described to me, a total mess. One star player reached out to me today and said that if they play this game there on Monday night, that there are going to be a good amount of players that strongly consider sitting out the game entirely. The alternative was exactly what the NFL did, which is probably the right thing, move the game back to L.A.
Why does it have to come to that, though? Why do we live in a world where we allow money to dictate and make decisions for everything? You know, I understand. Look, it's a business. I
you
get
really
all
think
that.
The players would boycott? I don't.
But I do.
I'm glad that they fainted. I think they all would have went. I don't think there would have been a holdout at all. But because I think bottom line, they would have went. But I think the NFLPA getting involved and their concerns being considered, I'm glad it weighed in on making the decision for the NFL, because, yeah, I think it did take that push.
It did. No, it did, yeah.
That and,
but it shouldn't have to take that push. You should look at that field if you're in the NFL. That's not playable for
that,
our guys.
Laura Moritz, our friend from Channel 9, who was there and was reporting they were throwing grass seed on yesterday.
Grass seed. Yeah, because that's going to grow by
Monday,
I think they said that,
like, this is not going to work. My cynical thought about the NFL was, ultimately, they could have completely done something about it to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But in their mind, why the hell would we want to pay for their field?
Right.
They're the ones that put it in this position. Why would we give them a brand new field for one game?
Mm-hmm.
That was like my
thought. Well, because of the money that they're going to make off the tickets and everything.
That was like my thought, though, for the NFL. Like, we're not going to spend the money, all this extra money, to make the field playable for one game. And they get the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a field that's ready already.
So right.
Screw this.
Right.
We're going to L.A. That was my, like, cynical NFL thought. And then the players weighing in, I'm glad it pushed them in the right direction. Do I firmly believe that they would have boycotted? No. We've seen that. We've seen this before. There's not, other than Le'Veon Bell, nobody stands their ground.
Yeah.
So they would have all went and played this game, but they probably would have grumbled about it. And if someone would have gotten hurt, then it would have gotten messy for the NFL. So it was absolutely the right move for them to pull up stakes and not go for it. I'm glad they didn't wait till, like, Friday.
Sure, yeah.
I felt like they did it early enough to give both teams, you know, the opportunity to plan and do all those mm-hmm. things and get all the logistics done and remove the uncertainty of it mm-hmm. right away. So good job kind of speeding up this. In NFL standards, I thought, very fast decision.
Well, it was. But it took the players, the brains of the operation in the NFL. The owners aren't the brains of the operation in the NFL. The players are the brains of the operation. And they come out there and they go, well, we're not going then if you're going to play this game in Mexico City. And that's ultimately what got it done. It had nothing to do with the playing conditions of the field. It had nothing to do with the NFL thinking about player safety. It had to do with the fact that the players threatened not to go, and if they didn't show up, there would be no game, and then they would lose a boatload of cash. Because I think the NFL ultimately, Josh,
really think they weren't going to show? I don't.
Well, they said they weren't. So you got.
I know they said they weren't.
You got to believe.
We're
a threat.
Not going.
Well,
oh really?
Okay, then you know what? You got to believe a threat. And ultimately,
I think they did. I think they did believe a threat.
Sure, yeah,
I don't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But ultimately, you've got to look at that and take it serious in a situation like that. And you can't have a marquee game on Monday night featuring the Rams and Chiefs and Tyreek Hill.
And the whole game being about the field.
Yeah, the whole game. Well, the whole game being about the field and the whole game being about who didn't show up and play in that football game. So you had to move that game and you had to get that game out of Mexico City for fear of, what do they say, FOMO, fear of missing out. You would have missed out maybe on some of the great players playing in that game, whether it was a Todd Gurley or Jared Goff.
The official release.
It was a FOMO release.
And the thing to me, too, is, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I didn't see any direct quote from a player saying, I won't go play or I will sit out. There were reports.
Right.
Adam Schefter said, well, I've had players tell me.
Star players,
yeah, many,
yes.
Many people have told me that they would sit out this game.
What
so, I, look, I don't necessarily disagree with it, and we had a brief conversation about it yesterday, too. too. Like, what would happen if players decided to start sitting out and said, you know what,
yeah.
I don't want to risk the injury.
Well, and that was the comment, though, that I saw yesterday. We've got to get ready for the next season is what the comment was. So both of these teams know they're going to the playoffs. This game is a nice game for the fans. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's AFC versus NFC. It really doesn't have a huge impact on whether or not you're going to make it into the postseason. Obviously, you want to win this game because it could be a Super Bowl preview type of thing. But at the end of the day, this does not have a huge impact on the direction of the season or where the season is headed, and the players realize that. This isn't like the Chargers versus the Chiefs with one game separating them on a marquee stage. This is Rams and Chiefs, AFC versus NFC. Quite honestly, the Chargers game on Thursday night, if both teams continue to do what they're doing,
more important.
Is much more important than this game down in Mexico City. And so I think the players realize that, and I think they called the NFL on their BS, and the NFL, you know, bit or whatever they did, and they made the right decision. But I don't think the right decision gets made unless the players push them to making that right decision.
I would agree with that.
And the NFL is going to make more money on that game being in Mexico City than it is in Los Angeles, because God love the Rams. They're passing out free tickets to all the first responders out there. Anybody who's been displaced by the wildfires, they're trying to fill that stadium up with a lot of free tickets. That game in Mexico City was already sold out. I mean, there's going to be 70,000, 80,000 people down there in Mexico City that are paying to go down there for that game. Now you're going to play it at the Coliseum in Los Angeles, and I would guess about 30 to 40% of that stadium is going to be free tickets.
Go enjoy lovely Mexico City.
Schefter says the conditions weren't the NFL's doing, ultimately, right? But it was on their watch.
This is a mistake on the NFL's part. This is embarrassing on the NFL's part. You don't want to plan a game. With everything that went into this, you've got a network like ESPN planning to go to Mexico City. You've got plans from teams that are planning to go to Mexico City. We even have the Rams right now in Colorado Springs training to play at altitude when they're not even going to be playing at altitude now. But in the end, it recognized it was the right decision, and better to make a mistake now than to make it during the game where you lose a key player for the balance of the season and have a organization and fan base enraged over a player getting hurt on unsafe conditions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be the last thing that they could have happen.
Right. Was that Caliendo or was that Schefter?
They make him work so much, he's lost his voice.
Yeah. So, obviously, as we've talked about enough, this was the right decision that was made, and the NFL, with a little push from its players, and this is why we have unions, for people who are anti-union and anti-worker. I mean, this is why we have unions, to stand up for the rights of the employee, and we saw that in action yesterday, because without the union, without the Players Association, nothing like this happens. And obviously, the right move by the National Football League to do this. And are there going to be some people that are put out? Yeah, some people that are inconvenienced. Yeah, I've got some friends that are, you know, we're supposed to go down there for the game. Obviously, they're not going to go down there for the game.
Or if you are, you find something else to do and you watch the game
on
television like everybody else.
If you visit the
National Museum of Anthropology, full of Mayan artifacts.
Okay, very nicely done. There's a lot of things to do,
I'm sure.
The
Temple of the Sun is there?
Yeah, it's Mexico City. It's a big town. There's a lot going on. You can find some things to do.
Good, you've had some alternatives already picked out for
some
people.
Some nice churches.
Yeah.
I can get you an itinerary.
I mean, the NFL is going to refund your money. They're going to give you your money back
for your tickets.
And they're not going to refund your money for, obviously, the airfare. That's not their responsibility to do that, nor should it be their responsibility to do that, because the same people who are complaining about now losing money on the Mexico City trip would be the same people complaining if Tyreek Hill blew out a knee, or if Todd Gurley blew out a knee, or if Jared Goff broke his leg. So
have a Six Flags in Mexico?
You know, there are ways you can get your money back, obviously, and maybe this is a lesson for everybody out there. If you're planning a trip, buy that $14 insurance.
Says flags.
Wow, how American and gringo was that?
I never took Spanish.
Says flags.
Spanish beer.
That's right.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis.
You can check out their great zoo featuring 2,000 animals, giant pandas, and other endangered species.
Oh, nice. I like that. Very good. So there's plenty for you to do down in Mexico City. And it makes you wonder what the future of the international games are going to be right now, too, Josh. I mean, are we going to try this Mexico City thing again next year? I think maybe we're seeing a line of, this is why we can't play games and have teams housed out of the United States of America, because you just don't know what's going to happen with these venues and with these fields and with these stadiums. And so this may be a wake-up call for the NFL to realize, you know what, let's just keep the game stateside and not worry about moving these games around, because there are things that we can't control that take place in these other stadiums that aren't ours.
If you remove your preconceptions, they've actually gotten a lot better. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
looking up, both televisions had the field in Mexico City.
Oh, it's terrible.
Just atrocious.
Just absolutely garbage.
Looks like my lawn.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, your lawn actually looks better than what we're looking at down there in Mexico City right now.
I don't know.
Your new lawn or your old lawn?
My current lawn.
Your current lawn. Okay. I like that.
Current lawn.
I've got a mole.
I've tried, but can't do it.
It's got to look better than my lawn.
Do you ever play whack-a-mole in your yard? Like after Mr. Thirsty shows up 5 o'clock on a Friday, you're going out there with a sledgehammer beating the mole?
That's a good idea.
That won't lead to an emergency room visit or anything.
I mean, I've never seen the mole.
That's the thing.
You never know who the mole is.
Set that trap.
Who do you think the mole is around here, if you had a guess?
Spectre,
right? Yeah.
Didn't even need to ask that question.
Suit. It's the suit.
I'm one of you guys. I'm going to wear a hoodie to work today. Yeah, sure you are, Steven. Yeah. Sure.
Every now and again, he tries to grow out a beard. Doesn't look right on him.
Nah, it really doesn't. Nah, it's all right. It's wintertime, though. Playoff beards. You got to get that beard going on.
Yeah, I'm just one of the guys.
Who else would you have said?
I don't know.
Fanning?
I don't.
Is Fanning the mole?
No.
Is Ron the mole?
No.
Vern? I mean,
no.
It's none of us. We're not here long enough in the
Ron
day.
Ron the mole Hughley.
Ron the mole Hughley. That kind of has a ring to it. Yeah.
Binkley would be a terrible mole.
Binkley is definitely not the mole.
Talks too much.
Loose lips on that
one. Yeah, Binkley is definitely not the mole. He couldn't keep a secret if you paid him.
yeah, you're right.
I don't know why you're laughing. You got a big yapper, too.
I mean, you
can't keep a secret either. With Josh and I have learned, we can't tell you anything.
No, don't tell me
There's
anything.
A lot of
it's
things that we haven't told you. Yeah,
kids' Christmas presents.
We got our kids a great He-Man action figure for Christmas. Jeez. Ryan's calling the kids on the phone, somehow knows our children and how to get a hold of them on their phones that they don't have. I mean, you can't keep a secret
with
anybody.
I mean, good secrets I'm fine with. Don't tell me embarrassing things about you.
Well, okay,
if you tell me that, I'm going to say it.
I wore my He-Man underoos last night.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
You're telling everybody.
I was going to say, you don't have to even have to, to ask.
We all know about the He-Man underoos.
I had a try. I think I may order Superman underoos now, too. They're very comfortable. Very, very nice pair
of
underwear.
Those uncomfortable-looking briefs?
They're very good, yes. Yeah. You'd like them. You'd put them on, and you're like, ooh, these are nice.
I don't need nut hugs.
No.
It's not my, not my jam.
Nope.
I haven't worn tidy whities, guys, since 20 years, maybe, right? Maybe.
Like riding a bike, huh?
It's better.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I recently switched to the boxer brief.
Recently? I've been in the boxer brief since 98.
I mean, I'm sorry to be so late to the party, but I was a boxer's guy.
Oh, God, no.
Switched to the boxer brief?
The boxer brief is the perfect combination
of
everything.
It really is. Plus, it frames it nicely.
I remember when I was working for the New Jersey Cardinals, and we had a fat guy, you know, and I was a fat guy, and we were out there hanging signs and building fences, you know, all the stuff you do in minor league baseball that
1,000 a month?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. So you're out there hammering signs and drilling in the cement. Oh, God, yeah. I learned more about doing, random things in minor league baseball than ever the baseball. Like, the game was, the break of the day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You worked your ass off all day, right?
Other stuff. Just
making no
game.
Money, right, just to get to the game. And so I remember this fat guy sweating, and everybody was chafing because it was hot out. It was the summertime. He goes, I wear boxer briefs. I'm like, I've never heard of those before. And that day I went to Kohl's or wherever it was at the time and bought a 3-pack, and since then, that's it.
That man, Jim Haynes.
Yes.
He went on to make a fortune.
Actually, his last name was Of the Loom.
Yeah, Of the Loom. Frederick of the Loom.
Right.
De Lume.
Went by Fruit, yes.
Yeah, they call him Fruit.
if you cast away your preconceptions of the Chiefs defense,
right?
I think you'd be willing,
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
To see improvement, mm-hmm. I think you can see improvement.
Right.
You can certainly see it statistically, and if you allow yourself to say, yeah, the competition is the competition. Your schedule is your schedule. But if you can watch the games and say, I see improvement, mm-hmm. I think, one, it's healthier for you.
It is.
It's okay to have a change of heart in the midst of a season, be willing to accept. I was the entire time saying, being the season, defense stinks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to accept that they might improve as the season goes on.
Why as sports fans, though, Josh, is that like one of the things we're not able to do as sports fans? We make up our minds in September about a football team, and nobody wants to change their mind over the course of the season. Baseball, we make up our mind in April, and nobody wants to change it. It's almost like as a sports fan, and I sense this.
It's turned into our politics.
It really has to. You got your decision, and you're staying with it.
And there's nothing anybody can do to tell you otherwise.
Right.
And I don't understand. it's a long, we always say it's a long season. So there's an ebb and flow and,
sure.
and things can change. And yes, they might revert back to being terrible.
It may come
they
back. Might. Sure. It may.
They might. But I think right now I'm seeing improvement and
right.
I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm also, as we discussed yesterday, willing to acknowledge, hey, other teams, they're having problems with defense sometimes too, because
correct.
It's an offensive league right now, but I'm seeing the Chiefs defense play better.
And that's why we went through yesterday and I asked you who the number one defense was in the NFL. You're like, I don't know. And then you look at it, you go, Tennessee. Tennessee's the number one defense in the NFL. Well, based on the way they played against the Patriots the other day, you're like, yeah, all right, they're pretty good. But you wouldn't have known that unless you looked it up. I mean, that's where defense is right now in the NFL. And the Chiefs are 16th in the league in scoring defense. We've hit average, baby. And that's what we've been asking for all year long. Just give us an average defense and the offense will take care of everything. And that's what we're seeing right now. So I implore you guys as sports fans, and I know this isn't everybody, but it seems like it's a good majority of it. Like, we want to just make our decisions and we want to dig in and we don't want to let the evidence go out there and change our mind and change our thinking about this team. I know over about 6 weeks ago, I started to say, you know what? They're playing better on defense right now. Guys are starting to perform better. Steven Nelson is playing his ass off right now and is ranked as one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. He's better than Marcus Peters is right now. So this defense is getting better and better and better. And yes, they're taking advantage of some of the lesser competition that they faced, but so what? They're also developing that confidence that can carry you for the last 6 weeks of the season.
Former Chief Danan Hughes joined us yesterday, as he does each and every Tuesday at 8:30. You can check out the full interview in the on-demand section at 610sports.com. But he discussed the defensive improvement.
That's been the key for this entire season, is guys being healthy. I don't think Justin was really healthy weeks before he went down. And the fact that they've gotten better, and I've been encouraged about that. I mean, who would have thought that week one, week three, week four, that we would have seen the best of this offense, especially with the young quarterback? But let's face it, you can't have the best offense, your best defense, and your best special teams in the first quarter of the season. You got to have some room for improvement. And the defense, to give them credit, Bob Sutton, getting more creative with the blitzes, with the pressures in the quarterback spaces. Chris Jones finally showing up on a consistent basis, and a healthy Justin Houston with a guy on the other side in D Ford that has lit a fire on his butt, and he's getting the job done as well. I saw some pass rushing by D Ford last week that reminded me of Derek Thomas, the speed that he showed off the corner. So I'm encouraged by the defense that they're growing and they're getting better. It all starts up front. That's what's going to help those defensive backs.
There you go.
Yep.
I completely agree. And it's okay to have the, I thought they were terrible, and now, hey, man, they're showing us a little something.
Right, exactly.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good. And that's what you should want as a fan of your team. You should want your team to get better as the season goes along. That shows they're well-coached. It shows you got a good organization in place. It shows you got good coaches in place. And it really shows that you got good players that are willing to listen and absorb and learn and get better and work harder at what they're doing. And so the fact that this defense is getting better, everybody should be celebrating it instead of trying to dig in and say, well, it's still a bad defense. Because right now, it's not a bad defense. It's average.
We really love to hear it, but it's maybe a false narrative. And 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up next.
Fesco in the morning.
On the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. There's nothing more that we like to hear than, oh, man, Arrowhead's a tough place to play.
Tough place to play, baby.
Tough place to play.
I mean, you look at the Chiefs' record, and they're about 100 games over 500 at Arrowhead Stadium during the regular season. I looked up the numbers this morning. I'm like, how good are the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium? Yeah, they're like 100 and some games roughly over 500 when it comes to playing at Arrowhead Stadium. You know, for as long as Arrowhead's been around, they've only played like 363 games or something like that there. That, you know, at 8 a year, obviously you don't get that many games per year, but they're about 100 games over 500. That's a big, big number. But in the postseason, where it matters the most, the Chiefs are just 2-6 at Arrowhead Stadium. For whatever reason, that regular season magic does not carry over to the postseason. Now, I believe it's going to carry over to the postseason this year because our guy Dan Joy was out there burning sage at the I think like in February or March, he took a tour of Arrowhead. He's lighting stuff in the corner, trying to burn sage to get the demons out of Arrowhead. It got a little bit of trouble. It does. You sage things like that. Back in 1999, our friend Howard Balzer saged Rams Park. They went on and won the Super Bowl that year. Mm. So I believe in the power of sage. And so if you go out and you sage buildings to get rid of the demons, that helps you get past the bad things that have happened inside that building. So there's been a lot of bad things that have happened playoff-wise at Arrowhead Stadium. Our guy Dan Joy went out there and saged it earlier in the year. I still think we need to do a repeat trip to Arrowhead Stadium and sage it before the playoffs start.
Maybe add some oregano and thyme, a little basil.
No, you don't want any of that. It's just sage. Sage kills the demons. The Long Island Medium talks about it all the time. I used to think it was a sports complex thing. Then the Royals went on and won the series recently, so we can't say it's a sports complex thing. So
it's only half of the sports
complex. Well, it's Arrowhead. Something like I think Arrowhead may be on some kind of ancient burial grounds or like an ancient city of Mesopotamia or something like that. So we've got to go in there and sage and get all the bad demons out of Arrowhead Stadium in order to win there in January. We will be saging that place.
Well, I mean, the Royals didn't win the World Series at Kauffman
but they,
Stadium.
That might have been
why they won it on the road, because we lost the World Series at Kauffman Stadium.
That's a fair point, but Alex Gordon did hit
again,
one of the biggest.
They won
there, yeah. But there's been no playoff success at Arrowhead. So you're
playoffs. So it's like right on the border of that burial ground is what you're saying.
Like halfway through Lot M. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right there in the media lot is where the burial ground ends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, so we need to get in there, and like I said, Dan's already saged it, but I think we need a re-saging of Arrowhead.
So we think Chiefs play at home, great thing. When others say they love playing at Arrowhead, we take it as because it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, wet blanket.
Looking at this graphic, I'm not afraid of Pittsburgh. New England beats them every single time. Objectively, they own them. Change that. And then Kansas City. Like, it's a great atmosphere. It's really loud. They lose every single year at home in the playoffs. Just facts. And you're going to say, well, they've never done it with Mahomes. They've done it with Reed. They did it last year. They did it the year before. So
yeah, but
it's super loud, and they have great barbecue and all that, but I'm not terrified of going into Arrowhead unless it's the 70s. I'm not.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Yeah, and I don't know what he's talking about, the 70s. The 70s was a vast wasteland of nothing for the Chiefs. I mean, from Super Bowl IV to when Marty Schottenheimer took over, those were not prime years for the Chiefs.
But even in the 90s, it wasn't like they were winning it in the playoffs.
No, they weren't, and that's the thing. The Chiefs, for whatever reason, that's why I believe there's a curse that needs to be saged out of Arrowhead Stadium. There's a big-time curse there because in the playoffs, in all the years, the Chiefs are just 2-6. They're 4 games under 500 in the postseason.
I'm going to play
at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, but no Mahomes.
Yeah, okay. But I like the way that they counteracted and went, but yeah, but they've had Andy Reid.
They did have Andy Reid.
But Andy didn't have Mahomes either.
True, but Andy Reid does have a 20-year track record of not finishing the task.
I just would like to dispel the players don't like to play at Arrowhead myth, because that's just patently false. I mean, I've saved these cuts for specific reasons. Every time this comes up, I just have to go to these. Here's Anthony Lynn. He plays here once a year.
It's one of my favorite stadiums to play football in.
Yeah, one of his favorite stadiums. Here's Philip Rivers. He's played here once a year his whole damn career.
I mean, it's just a great place to play. Just, to me, it's one of the few old school NFL atmospheres that are left, you know, and so it's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Derek Carr, you play here once a year. What about you? You got to hate it, right?
I really do. I really do.
No, he loves it.
You know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that I enjoy going to their stadium, but I do, you know, because it's loud, it's fun, and I've told you guys how many times I like playing in the noise, because you're just kind of in your own little zone, and you know, you just kind of cancel everything else out, and I do enjoy going there.
What, he likes playing in the noise?
They all like coming here.
Let's get out of the division. Out of the division, people have to hate it, right? What about you, Drew Brees?
It's one of my favorite places to play. I think it's one of the best venues in football.
What the hell? Le'Veon Bell, you tore us up in the playoffs. Maybe you don't like playing here.
It's like one of the most fun stadiums I've played in.
What the hell?
It's too fun.
It's too fun. Yeah.
Too fun.
Guys like coming here because we do football right.
Probably because you're going to hand them a playoff win.
Well, Bill, because they come here and you're used to playing in places like Oakland and San Diego and all these other places that just don't have an atmosphere
so
like
next
we
time
do.
They all arrive, be quiet.
And so they get here and they get jazzed up by the atmosphere and they think it's cool because it's something unique. It's something different,
the best
man.
In others.
It just continues to show we have the best fans in all of football and people love coming here to play because it's an atmosphere you can't find anywhere else.
Surely Adam Gase, who was the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos, he doesn't like coming here, right?
It's a great environment. It's, you know, one of my favorite stadiums to go to, you know, being in that division, you know, to go play a team. And, you know, those fans are, I mean, they're into it, and it's hard to hear. And it's, you know, when it comes a tight game, they try to affect the other team.
They try.
Yes, they do.
Oh, man, I don't.
Yeah. So people like coming there.
No one
there
says it's like immensely difficult to play there. They all say it's fun.
I love it.
Because it is fun. Could you imagine playing on that field, no matter who you're playing for, with 78,000 fans
it'd
screaming?
Be great.
Awesome, right?
I wish they would say it is impossible to win there. Nobody says that.
Right. I mean, like, this is the idea we have in our head, right?
Again, I have asked the defense to help lower the crowd noise. Any further crowd noise problem will result in a charge timeout against Kansas City.
Like, we want to harken back to the time that Elway and the Broncos, they had to quiet the crowd down, right?
Yes. Back in 1990, that was December 9th, 1990. The Chiefs won 31-20 that day. The Broncos fell to 3-10 on the season that day.
Wow, so they were already trending in that direction.
Yeah, they were not very good. Not very good that year. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, all brought to you by Lady James. What do we got today, Rhino?
Text line says Lego makes more tires than any company in the world.
Really? I didn't know that. Lego, huh? That's
because the tires always get lost.
Did you know that the plural for Lego is Lego?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Apparently they get very upset when you say Legos.
Yeah, Legos my ego. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they make a lot of tires because inevitably if your kid builds a car with four tires, a tire gets lost.
That's 100% true. That and also the little teeth for like the dinosaurs and the monsters they have.
Yeah, a lot of teeth.
Who's your favorite Seinfeld character?
Boy, that's a great question.
Can we eliminate the main four?
That's fine.
I wasn't going to go with one of the main four.
I wasn't either. I've always liked Putty.
Putty's good.
And then the third person guy.
Peterman was
phenomenal. Fantastic. I'm a big fan of Steinbrenner in that because it is Larry David who plays doing Steinbrenner.
Who's the other
voice.
Comedian that's always the best? Want to take Jerry to Manny's?
Banya. He was in studio.
Yeah, he joined us in studio one day, yeah.
Every morning he wakes up and he opens his mailbox and there's a check. He loves it. It's fantastic.
And a boy.
Jimmy's got his eye on you. I like that guy, too.
I was in one episode.
I know. I loved him.
Mel Torme did a great cameo.
Would you have ever bought those shoes, though?
No.
I knew a guy that used to work at a shoe store, and he would wear them, and he was a basketball player.
He thought he was going
to make him jump higher.
Mm-hmm. Sure it was.
Yeah.
That's
stretch
right.
your Achilles, you'll jump higher.
Go for it, pal.
Mm-hmm. You got to be a real moron to think Long Island Medium's real.
Hey, man, it's a great entertaining show. It may not be real, but it's entertaining.
My wife loves the show.
I watch it all the time. It's fun.
Every time I see her watching it, though, I'm like, is that Susie from Sales?
Yeah. The Long Island Medium looks like Susie.
That's what I think.
Both very tan.
Yeah.
In December and January, too. I've never seen somebody so tan in January like Susie is.
Someone wants to know how high we are today. What?
What? What kind of question is that?
I don't know.
Yesterday we were. Diesel fumes.
What happened to Alf?
Well,
I think he went back to Melmac.
He did go back, and he's eating cats still.
When's that gonna resurface?
Oh, soon. It's absolutely gonna be in 2019.
They're gonna make like a full length movie, right?
No, it's gonna be rebooted. Yeah,
he's moved in with a new family.
No, he moved in with a kid who's now got a family of his own.
There you go. You already written it up.
816 wants to know mustard greens or collard greens. I like a good mix of greens. Throw a little ham hock in there, you're good to go. Let's see here. Can you see emojis on the text line? Sadly, we cannot.
Oh, that stinks.
816 says skyrockets in flight.
Afternoon delight. Boop!
816 says, yesterday I didn't text in and I had a horrible day.
Oh, well, good. I like that.
I didn't like today.
That you had a horrible day. I like the fact that you didn't text in and your day's going to be better. Yeah, yeah, we got your back, bro.
My wife, she washes the dishes before she puts them in the dishwasher.
You have to.
I do, too.
Yeah, everybody
rinse
does.
Them off.
You have to rinse them off. You can't put, like, a half steak in a dishwasher.
I don't
dishwasher.
Scrub them with soap, but, I've got a scrubber. I scrub them.
Because as great as a dishwasher is, if you don't get the stuff off before you put it in, it's not coming off.
Who would win in a rap battle, the rhinoceros or the hippopotamus?
I'm going to say the hippopotamus.
I feel like the rhinoceros is...
The rhinoceros would?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Hippopotamus, that was...
That's pretty good, too, the hippopotamus.
Like the rhino's faster would be able to be faster with lines.
Huh. 816 says pork belongs with breakfast.
Sure. Pork chops and eggs, yeah. That's good.
I think pork belongs with everything.
Pork on eggs or something.
Bacon is pork, guys. I mean, so ham is pork. Most of your breakfast meats, sausage is pork. I mean, yeah, most of your breakfast meats are pork. We just figured that out. How about that?
816 says people who shake their glasses at waiters are the scum of society.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe
no
if you come
way.
Over here and fill my
you
fill
shake
my water.
Your glasses at a waiter?
I just do the, straw suck. You know, where it's like...
Right when they go by? Yeah.
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 Oh,
you didn't recognize this as empty?
Yeah. Shake your glass, like your eyeglasses or your glass?
Oh, your glass. You know, you...
Either way, you're a bad...
I think if it takes their eyeglasses off and shakes them out.
I thought like somebody's taking their monocle out and, shaking it.
I need another beverage.
Who is doing that, man? They're a waiter. They're not your servant. Unbelievable.
785
says, some respect.
Celery and peanut butter. I mean, they are servers. Celery and peanut butter is the best snack ever.
I don't know it's the best snack ever, but it's pretty good.
I mean, you throw some raisins on it.
Then you got to add some.
I've always just tried to like celery. It's just so.
It doesn't taste like anything.
No. It's a waste.
It's like got negative calories. When you eat it, you burn calories.
Yeah. 913 says, I don't want you to ever read this text. Seriously, you can't read this text.
Okay, cool. Okay. There you go. We won't.
Yesterday was my mom's birthday. Today is my birthday.
Today's my mother's birthday as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Happy birthday to my mother. Love
Sage
you.
Is the most underrated herb.
Sage has a flavor. Like, you know when sage is in something. It pops. I think basil's underrated.
Last one for you. Pigskins or cracklins?
Pigskins.
I mean, I think they're all the same, right? I do like some crackers.
I thought they were the same.
Some chicharrones.
Chicharrones.
There you go. Ooh.
Yeah.
Chicharrones. They're the same.
Someone wants to put together a Mount Rushmore.
Of?
No. What's your Mount Rushmore of presidents, Bob?
I would say Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt.
And the other guy.
Reagan.
And nobody knows who the fourth guy is. It's like the fifth Beatle. Shemp. Shemp. Is it Shemp was the fifth Beatle?
No. It's Curly Joe.
That is shouted out. Brought to you by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. Someone needs to make it stop. A key play coming up.
Goodness.
And a former chief who was on some pretty good offenses looks at the current one. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Time for the key play, brought to you by Broadway Deli. Check them out in the Crossroads, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Get your breakfast, get your lunch. They cater breakfast and lunch as well. Check them out, Broadway Deli in the Crossroads. Well, Le'Veon Bell didn't show up, didn't report to the Steelers by the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline yesterday, didn't sign his franchise tender, meaning he cannot play this season, indeed holding out for the entire season. Mike Tomlin, Steelers coach, reacting.
I have no reaction. I've told you guys, and I've told you guys consistently, a reaction comes from me if and when he walks in the door. Until that happens, I'm business as usual, focused on those that are here and working, and appropriately so. That way I don't waste my time and theirs.
What about if he never walks through the door?
So be it.
All righty then.
so be it.
And he's right. His football team is the number two seed in the AFC right now, and, you know, they're playing good football. Mike Tomlin is absolutely right. So be it. If Le'Veon Bell doesn't walk in, so be it. I know James Conner's in the concussion protocol this week, but they've done very nicely without him. And, in fact, James Conner is trending to have better numbers this year than Le'Veon Bell did a season ago. And so Le'Veon Bell is not there, and we'll talk more about it at 7:15 this morning. But I think Le'Veon Bell just did a major disservice to every single running back in the National Football League, and I think teams are going to wake up and realize, we don't need to pay these guys. We just don't need to pay these guys. So I appreciate Le'Veon Bell taking the stand for himself and doing what he feels necessary. It is a business thing, but I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to ultimately get what he wanted when the offseason approaches right now.
I think you need that as a drop, Ryan. You just see, so be it.
I know Mike Tomlin just like Ivan Drago'd him right there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. He dies.
Yeah, right. Like, wow. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm with Mike Tomlin on this one right now. Like, I understand both sides of it. I appreciate Le'Veon Bell, and I understand what he's doing, and I support what he's doing because I'm a player's first, team second type of guy, and I'll never get mad at a player for holding out because they've got to make their money. Because what happens if Le'Veon Bell signs the deal, gets hurt, Pittsburgh Steelers cut him, never sign him again, he never makes another dollar? I get all that. They weren't willing to invest in him, Josh. Why should he invest in them? I totally understand that. The flip side is, though, as the coach and as the team, you can't worry about that. You've got to move on, and I think the good teams are able to do that. New England gets rid of players all the time. And they continue to move on, and they continue to win, and they continue to claim division championships and get into the postseason. And Pittsburgh's kind of in that mold. You're not going to be here. We're just going to move on and do our thing. So congratulations to both sides, because the Steelers are business as usual, and Le'Veon Bell did what he felt was right, and he sent a message.
Former Chief Tony Richardson, he was on some pretty good offenses, right?
Oh, God, yes.
He's watching this offense and even thinking what we're all thinking.
This is like watching Madden.
How
is everyone open? I feel like I want to get back out there. But you know, the thing about it, the only thing that kind of scares me about this Chiefs team is the defense. Because, you know, some of the games has been like, they put up 31 points. Oh, but he gave up 30.
Right.
But that's the biggest thing. Once you show that defense up, I'm not sure who can beat this team. And the great thing about it, if they get home field advantage and everyone has to come through Arrowhead, you're gonna be able to hear the crowd from here.
So that's Tony Richardson talking about Arrowhead, where he did not have much success in the postseason.
On NFL Network.
Right.
They are like Madden. I think the defense is better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this particular team coming to Arrowhead will be difficult. I think we're ready.
I think so, too.
We're ready to have a massive impact as a home crowd.
Yeah.
We've seen the defense respond, play better at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So I think that there are a lot of things going to make history be history in this situation, and this being the present.
Right, exactly. And I think there are a lot of different things right now. You have so many more weapons than you even did in 2003, where you could score from anywhere on the field. I mean, you felt like you could then, but now you know you can. You know you can score from anywhere on the field because you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got Travis Kelce, you've got Kareem Hunt, and you've got Patrick Mahomes, who's willing to sling that ball all over the joint and take a chance at scoring from anywhere on the field. The defense is getting better at the exact right time, and I think this is where it all finally comes together, where you don't really have a true weakness like you did in 2003. You knew that defense stunk in 2003. This defense is average. They're 16th in the league in scoring. And if you can continue to play an average defense like this team has done for the last 6 weeks or so, you will see a difference in the scoring, you know, get bigger, get wider, become a bigger gap like it has been. This team went from giving up 28.7 points per game in the first five or six games of the year to the last four games of the year giving up just 17 points per game. That's a huge difference. And when you're bringing down the points that you're giving up and the offense is still scoring 35 points a game, you're winning a lot of these games going away right now.
Chiefs and Rams, of course, on Monday, now in L.A., but we're going to be out on Monday morning.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be at the Colonial Club in KCK Monday morning. The bar and kitchen will be open at 6 a.m., so I know it's Thanksgiving week next week. You know, everybody's kind of taking the week off. A lot of the school districts are off. People always ask us, when are you coming to KCK? Well, we are on Monday. John Stoner runs the Colonial Club now, so he will have it open for us. A lot of the great folks from Lot D will be there. That's where you need to be on Monday morning, beginning at 6 a.m. for us. And then, of course, we'll be out at Harrah's at Winning Streaks to watch the game later that evening. So get your drink on beginning at 6 a.m. Monday morning at the Colony Club. They got pizza. They've got all kinds of appetizers. They've got wings. They got all kinds of good stuff. So we want you to come down and party with us on Monday morning beginning at 6 a.m. to Colonial Club in KCK.
Sounds like we'll be taking naps on Monday.
Right, maybe so. Maybe so.
Nothing wrong with a good midday nap.
It'll be a late night.
The Chiefs can leave their passports at home. Patrick Mahomes was shockingly not on this list. And do you believe in jinxes? All in headlines in 2 minutes.
Fesco in the morning.